this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hey, welcome to Get It Right, Texoma, with the Texoma Trio, Mike, Terry, and Trey. Glad to have you back. We're here live in the MacTech Solutions studios.
Yes.
We are thrilled to have you
MacTech
with us.
MacTech Solutions. Yeah. The 4020 Ray Road.
Yep, 4020 Ray Road.
And Terry, what is MacTech Solutions? What do they do at MacTech Solutions?
Yeah, what are you up to?
No, we're an Apple authorized reseller. That's the term in the industry for selling dealer of selling Apple products.
Yeah.
And so we do that and we fix all the Apple stuff. So we are an Apple authorized service provider as well. Right. Or think Apple Store.
Right.
Just Apple not Store, owned by Apple.
Right. Apple Store without the khakis.
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of got.
Yeah, but you don't have the white shirt and the khakis, and you're not a hipster, and sort of thing. And they don't put you in a virtual line when you come in. You get in a virtual line.
Yeah. So,
but it's important to point out.
Nobody asks you what your pronouns or your preferred pronoun is when you get waited on.
Yeah. You use the term reseller. But it doesn't mean that you sell used products.
That's what it sounds like. It's used,
I know,
doesn't it?
But that's the term in the industry is reseller and a few other industries. But yeah, we're this thing is they actually used to be called Apple dealers, but that went away in the 80s or something.
But you don't sell everything but the phones, right?
All but the phones, and that's because we just don't have a relationship with any of the carriers.
But you can work on the phone.
But I can fix them. Yeah, I can fix them all day. Yeah, we do. And we're fully authorized. Like I said, we have Apple parts, all that. We can only use Apple parts. So you're going to get just like it would be Apple itself.
OEM parts, aftermarket.
Right. That's absolutely. Right. We follow Apple's rules and everything. We're very strict on everything they do, and we have to follow their rules. And we maintain a really high – in fact, we have a better CSAT, customer satisfaction rate, than the Apple stores themselves.
By the way, you actually do classes as well.
Yep.
And I know tonight is too – nobody's going to see this tonight, but – what's your next classes coming up? You're going to do some classes. If you want to learn how to use your Apple device, Terry can help you out.
Well, we're doing the iPad and iPhone together as one class. And in fact, behind the camera is where our classroom is. And so we're doing that. So if you want to learn.
So if they look over their shoulder, will they see it?
If they can look over their shoulder, absolutely, they could do that. If I had the 360 camera, then we, you know. But anyway, if you want to learn more about your device, and how to use it more effectively and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's what we got. It's $75. You sign up on our website, and we just sent out an email blast today. And if you are on our email list, then look for it in your email. Otherwise, just go to our website and look for it. And so we've got it signed up next week. I say next week. It's the week of the 19th.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So So this is the week we're doing it this week, and then we're doing it again.
Today is the 5th or 6th or what?
7th.
And it's, guess what? Today is.
What is today?
I hate to say this. 40, can't believe that. 40 years ago, I arrived at San Antonio at Lackland Air Force Base for basic training.
How do you remember I don't remember what I did.
Well, I think that would be a significant thing. The next day, next morning at 5:30, I'm being yelled at on the 8th of
March. Kind of a traumatic experiences tend to stay with you.
Yeah, I used to be a cowboy. I mean, I was screamed at a million times and used to play sports. Yeah. You get screamed at all the time.
But the very first time you go from being a high school. Well, I was out for a little bit.
I'm sure it was a big change.
Yeah, 1984. Yeah. And so then I retired April 1st, we're not quite on that 20 years ago. So So I can't believe I've been retired 20 years and it's been that long. So anyway, March 7th. And then next week, we won't have it, but we're going to have it after that. And so, tell your friends and everything because we have a really good response on that. We haven't done it in a while. So that's right. So
I got to ask you though. Okay, because you're kind of giving your age away a little bit there.
Maybe, yeah.
Do you feel as old as you are?
Absolutely not.
And you know, here's the thing, too. You know, we're all in our 50s, and our grandparents and our great grandparents. You know, by the time they were in their 50s, they were old.
Elderly. Yeah, they looked old. They acted old. They walked old. They everything. Yeah,
they were worn out. Yeah.
Worn. Yes,
physically, they worked so hard physically.
Yep.
So hard physically, you know, and they, because that's what you had to do.
Yep. Well, So well, I'm thankful for all of that and everything that our business has had and as success. And so thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for my friends right here on this podcast.
Oh, I think it's a blast. And what we try to do here is we just try to inform people, kind of let people know what's going on locally. Yeah. Yeah. We'll try to keep you up with events. Also, we have local stories. We do have national stories, of course. In a minute here, I maybe we need to make a couple announcements of what's coming up. But then, of course, we have the big national story that we found out. Yeah. You know, in a world where everybody screams about diversity and this and that, we've got two rich old white guys that are going to run for president.
you may have noticed our special guest here. He's a bobblehead. Yes.
Yeah. That's a Trumpinator. And the back of the box says, I'll be back in 2024.
All right.
Well, we'll get to that here. We'll get to that here in a moment. A couple things coming up here. St. Patrick's Day Downtown Street Festival is coming up really quick, March the 16th at Bud Daniel Park, 2 to 9 p.m. And Uncle Lucius will be headlining the music at 7:30 that night. They got the online down tickets are available online. They got the downtown dash 5K, free kids area, Build-A-Beer, yard games. Sounds like my kind of fun. Food trucks also sounds like my kind of fun. And lots of vendors.
We probably should have put something between the Build-A-Beer and the free kids area. It's not free kids building a beer.
No, it's not. Although, you know, my grandsons probably could get into anyway.
Yeah, get started. Started soon.
And then the Red River Wine and Beer Festival at the J.S. Birdwell coming up March 23, 6 o'clock. Tickets are $40. You get them from any senior, junior, forum member or at Cox Liquor on Kemp Boulevard. This is this has turned into a really major event in the city.
Oh, it's huge. And if you just go to it. I'm probably going to go that night. I don't drink, but I'll probably go that night just to see people, see friends. You run into – every five steps you bump into somebody.
You absolutely do. And then, of course, Cajun Fest back for the 16th year.
Yeah.
And that's coming up April 20th, 11 to 7. This is also downtown, 901 9th Street, downtown Wichita Falls. They're probably their single biggest critic in town is my wife.
Now, why would that be, Mike?
Well, being an actual Cajun, she's very picky about what you call Cajun.
Yeah. She's not just a Cajun. She's a Cajun, right?
She's a Cajun. That's right. You know, she is from the area that they call Acadiana.
Yeah.
And that's where the word Cajun is derived from the word Acadian.
And the reason they're French is because they immigrated from French Canada.
Yes.
Legally.
I don't think it was the wall, the big beautiful wall. They probably did it legally back in those days.
Yeah.
Speaking of legal, I guess we've already let the cat out of the bag. Nikki Haley has now said sayonara.
I told you this was going to happen.
Of course, wow.
You know, as soon as the March 5th primaries were over, all the money immediately starts to dry up.
Yes.
And everything is going to flow in one direction, and it's going to be. Right here, the Trumpinator. It's going to be, you know, it was kind of a given 90 days ago that Trump was going to be the nominee. I mean, we really kind of knew that. And did you guys notice on your ballot when you went to vote, all of the names that were still on the ballot dropped out of the race?
Yeah.
And people still cast votes for some of those people, which is ridiculous because they're no longer a declared candidate. They've dropped
out. You might as well just not vote.
Exactly.
But she did win, though. She won
D.C.
and Vermont.
Vermont.
Yeah.
And not our own state.
Got blown out in her own state.
She did, which is kind of embarrassing when you think about it.
By the way, I guess, did you guys know that Joe Biden actually got beat in a primary? He lost in American Samoa.
Nobody ever heard of the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a name that everybody was like, who is that?
But it's not Joe Biden.
that's the whole reason he lost there, you know. But, you know, she won. We said she won the D.C. primary. Like 1,200 people voted in the D.C. primary. Yeah. It was it.
Well, and also you have some of these primaries where the numbers are not really that clear because there are some states that actually you can vote. You don't have to be part of the party to vote. In other words, in Texas, and I don't know, did y'all notice this? It's one of the amendments in the state of Texas is that you must be part of the party.
That's right.
To vote. They want to make it a constitutional amendment.
Yes.
That you must be part of the party to vote. And whereas in some states, you could just flip-flop, or when you caucus, you just caucus, say, I want to caucus for so-and-so.
Whatever you declare at that moment is what you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they want to put a stop to that. There were a bunch of those proposals on there. Now, whether any of that actually becomes law or becomes real remains to be seen. We need action on the part of the legislature to get this some of this stuff done.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing is we run into this so often in here in Texas, and of course every state has this issue, but here in Texas we run into this very often, is where things get mired down in committees in Austin.
Yes.
They never get out of it, they never escape a committee.
Right.
If it never escapes a committee, it ain't going to floor vote.
That's right.
Period. That's it. And it never, and some things never even get to the committee stage.
Yeah. See, this is where I think it all, and I think most states are probably like this, but I know I'm familiar with Texas is like this, and the U.S. The Speaker of the House and the Senate leader have too much power.
Yeah.
President of the Senate and Speaker of the House. They should not be able, you should not be able to have one speaker, one person that can stop whether a vote or a committee or a bill is going to go forward.
Agreed.
You know, it needs it. Now, I'm not saying that every person, every bill everybody wants to propose goes forward, because you can't possibly do that. But for it to go down to one person, that's to me is that those people have too much power.
Oh yeah, totally. And it's the way that's, well, okay. Did any of you see any of the CPAC stuff that happened this last time?
I didn't watch this last year.
Mark Levin, I think it was, that brought this up about how we've got to do an Article 5 Convention of States.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to. It's the only way we're going to get some of these things that we need fundamentally changed to actually change.
Term limits.
For example, term limits. Yeah. Congress is never going to term limit themselves. We're going to have to do it for them. And for those of you that may not follow through on this, Article 5 is referring to Article 5 of the Constitution. And basically, it says that if a majority of the states choose to do so, we can organize a constitutional convention, mm-hmm, where amendments to the Constitution can be drafted, voted upon, and then ultimately, if they're ratified, can be put into the Constitution. We the people can force things into the Constitution.
Is it we the people? Isn't that in one of the important documents? It seemed like I've heard that terminology somewhere.
It's eked in there somewhere.
Ugh. We the people, in order to form a perfect union.
Anyway, the fact that Nikki Haley's out should come as no surprise to anybody. We knew this was going to happen. We knew once the March 5th primaries were over, she was done. And I don't, as I said, I think a couple of shows back, I don't expect her to actually be a part of the Trump cabinet at all. I really don't.
I think she was running for 2028.
She also came right out and said that she's not obligated to support Trump if,
right,
you know, that he happens to be the party nominee, which every indication is that
well,
will be
she
the
said,
case.
Yeah, but what she said is he has to earn my vote and my supporters' votes. And
right, which,
I think it's okay. A little fresh. I think by the time it's all said and done, I believe that Haley will come around, and I think she'll support. But I think the wounds are pretty fresh. I mean,
yeah.
Trump's Trump's pretty brutal to go up against if you have thin skin, for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he's not somebody that, as I heard somebody say, he's not somebody that you want in the opposite corner. You want him in your corner. You want to be in his corner.
Well, unless you just want to go to battle, you don't mind.
Yeah,
and I don't. And I'm not saying I don't think Nikki Haley is thin skinned. I'm just simply saying that Trump would be a formidable opponent to go toe to toe with, and
he would be with anybody. Something, if I'm not jumping ahead here too far, for something you brought this up, and I don't know that we've really gotten into it. This active racism versus passive racism.
Yeah, that's something I've been marinating on for quite a while.
I
want
to talk about that.
So okay, everybody knows what active racism. Everybody knows what racism is, or what it means to you. But there's active racism. The Klan is actively racist.
Yes.
Black Lives Matter are actively racist. The neo-Nazis are actively racist. The Black Panthers are actively racist. Those are the people who will walk up to you and tell you something racist, or they don't like you because of the color of your skin or your heritage or whatever, and they're already automatically against you. And that's bad.
Right.
But I'll be honest with you. I think there's these passive racists. And the passive racist, in my opinion, are much more dangerous because, and I'll tell you the number one group of passive racism is white people, and mostly upper middle class white people.
But
because the reason is when you think somebody I stop short as calling people racist, racism and racist, saying somebody's a racist means that you're talking about their whole being. But somebody can have racism or show racism without being a complete racist. When you think that people are less than, that you think that you have to help people because they can't do things for themselves. The black people can't get IDs. Are you kidding me? That's a racist statement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or
and we've outright heard that a lot.
We've heard it. Yeah. It's racist to make sure people have to show an ID to vote. Joe Biden is stupid. I think Joe Biden's a passive racist. He'll say a perfect example is when he was talking about the hidden fees on airlines. Well, first off, that's a BS thing. There is no hidden fee. When you pay the ticket, it's all broken down.
Right.
But yeah, and these upcharges, and they affect, and he said the words, they affect people, black people and people of color, or poor people and people of color is what he said. And by the way, look, can we stop the people of color bullshit? I mean, what does that mean? I mean, if you're any shade darker than, you know, Tom Petty, or you'd be a person of color? Well, I mean,
but hey, wait a minute. But what about the fact that in the 50s and 60s it was colored people, maybe even into the 70s it was a term. And then of course NAACP it still has the name the word
right,
colored
but
in
people
it.
Of but, color is a but, thing I mean cause,
no I know
because frankly okay do people that are Indian Americans and I'm either group are they called people of color? I don't know because they're doing well.
Right.
You know, like people from India, they are coming to America as a group. But that group is doing very well.
Well, they are, but if by their quote definition, but I think to your point is that why can't we're all a color?
What we need to quit doing is we need to quit
labeling,
telling people that they're less than, telling people that if you sit there and say that all young black men have a target on their back by white police officers? Are you silly?
Yeah.
Here's another perfect one that I heard for years, and I used to complain. I used to gripe all the time. There's a school in town here that Mike and I attended. And people would say, it's the black school. Well, first off, it's not. It never was majority, but it is. It used to be about a third, mm-hmm. third white, a third black, and a third Hispanic, other, you know, Asian, and all that sort of thing.
Right.
So, but there are more black kids concentrated at that school than the other schools. And I would hear this crap, and I would hear people say, they need to get a black coach. Why? I'd say, why? Well, because there's more black kids there. Okay, so are you saying that black children are unable to learn from a white person? That's racist. What you're saying is that those people are less than me.
Right.
Okay, yeah. because that would be just as stupid an argument as me to say, well, oh, wait a minute. I have to have a white coach. I can't have a black coach. That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Passive racism are these people who feel like they have to speak up on behalf of somebody else that doesn't need their help. Yeah. Black people do not need your help getting IDs. Black people do not need your help trying to placate them. Black people are people. They're human beings. And by the way, throwing people as a group and saying just because of the color of their skin, they're all the same. How stupid is that?
Mm-hmm.
I hate that. That is such a racist thing to say.
Have you guys ever seen this interview? It's several years old now. But there's an interview that Morgan Freeman did with Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes. It's probably over a decade ago now.
Oh, it might be 20 years old now.
Maybe 20 years old now. It may be that old. I don't know. Mike Wallace is not with us anymore. I can't remember when he passed away, but he's been gone for a few years. But, you know, Mike Wallace is like, you know, how do we end racism? And
quit talking about it.
Yeah. And what started all was is that Morgan Freeman had said, I don't like Black History Month. I don't want that. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, of course. And, of course, Wallace is like, well, why not? He said, I don't want my history reduced to 1 month.
Exactly.
You know, to a single month. He's like... And Mike Wallace points out that he's Jewish. Do you want a Jewish History Month? Did your history be reduced to a single month?
He said, no.
No.
Then why?
Well, then, okay, then why are you doing it to them?
Everybody is. Everybody who's black is not a certain way. Everybody who's white is not a certain way. You're individual people. Get to know the person. There are plenty of wealthy black people. There are plenty of black people that are very well educated. Jeez, I mean, so and when you make a big deal, oh wow, they're well spoken. That is such a racist thing to say. Of course they are. They're human beings.
There's something
that are educated people.
There's something I have said, and you can apply this various ways if you wish to. The profit is not in the cure; it's in the treatment. If you take something and you fester the problem and you continually make it worse, you continually, for example, divide people against one another and continue to perpetuate this notion that everybody just hates everybody.
Yeah.
Now you've created a climate in which certain groups or individuals can profit from that.
That's it.
Let me tell you something. There are guys out here like Al Sharpton.
Oh yeah, race hustler.
You know that they don't want racism is what they bank on, for crying out loud.
Well, all these DEI people that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars and plus as DEI
exactly
people at all these companies and stuff. This is the dumbest thing. Quit treating people differently. Treat everybody the same.
Right.
That's the point. But you don't get extra because you're black, and you don't get less than because you're black. So, and don't tell me, right, okay, it happened. Okay, things have happened in the past. There used to be slavery too, but we don't do that anymore, right?
Haven't in a very long time.
Yeah, and you speak black people couldn't vote, women couldn't vote. That's what I keep telling. Quit labeling people and having expectations of people based on immutable qualities that they have.
Yeah,
that is the dumbest goddamn thing in the world.
We got rid of the poll taxes. We got rid of a lot
Jim
of this
Crow
stuff.
Yeah. So while y'all were talking about that, I thought, you know, what is that term? There's a psychological disorder. I'm not a psychologist. You have a degree in psychology, so you've been educated. You're not a psychologist either.
Nope, never practiced.
Did stay at a Motel 6 once.
That's right.
Well balanced. But I'd like to think we're pretty well balanced.
I took advanced psychology training, but that's all.
Yeah, right. So you've had that, and I've had counseling, not counseling in a licensed type of, but employee counseling or in the military. We had that. Had to learn how to help our airmen that are under us and everything.
I'm a recovering DJ.
Yeah. Okay. So I Googled, y'all saw me doing this. So this is from Psychology Today.
Right.
This is a kind of a self-help article.
Okay.
It says 5 ways to stop reliving painful memories. So I want to just read this. And this to me is what we have is we have created a culture that has people ruminating, that's the term, over and over and over. So let me just read this. While self-reflection is helpful, rumination is harmful. Dwelling on your problems, magnifying your misfortune, and hosting your own pity party only increases your distress. And so perhaps you replay a conversation you had with a boss over and over in your head, and each time you envision your discussion, you beat yourself up for something you said, playing the same scene over and over, and increases your fear and that you are you said the wrong thing. Well, that's an example of that. But what about in this case that you are being told things that you personally never experienced? You did not. There's nobody alive today, right? Am I missing something here that has ever been, at least from as a citizen of the United States, that the government sanctioned any sort of slavery?
Oh, well, no.
Right?
No,
okay. There may have been people
who came from other countries.
Well, no. Well, that, but in the United States, there could be a situation where somebody was secretly being held captive.
Illegally.
And then for the most part, 99.999% of every individual in this country who especially if they were born here, have no experience. All what's happening is you have transferred, somebody's relived it, because there was a time when Martin Luther King was in his heyday of doing what he was doing, all the good that he was doing, that he was focused on, let's move forward on this, get past it, not relive it.
His most famous speech his most famous speech, do not judge a person by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Right. The most coveted, revered civil rights activist in United States history, I would say, or at least in the last century, was Martin Luther King Jr. And those were his exact words. And if you want to live those words and listen to it, but you have all these idiots who don't want to listen to it. Oh, Martin Luther King, but you don't listen to what he said. And right. You don't agree with what he said.
Well, they all want to ride that coattail, but they don't live the words.
Right.
They want to be victims.
They talk that talk, but they refuse to walk the walk.
And even then, so when during the actual time that there was slavery, and even after it was passed, the law, you know, the Civil Rights Act and everything else, there were still people that were still being racist and
absolutely.
Having but what did families of black folks back then do? They taught their, for the most part, they were teaching their families to cope with it and just don't take it personally, move on. It's someday overcome. Looking forward, right, to overcome what's going on. And again, that's not to take away from the hardships that were put on everybody right. back then. So, but let me summarize this. I think we have a mental health problem created by the liberals that have been pushing this agenda for all these years. We have created definitely. For a whole bunch of things. But the trouble with ruminating is that dwelling on the negative, there's several of them here, dwelling on the negative leads to mental health problems, which we're seeing. Focusing on your problems causes mental health problems to last longer. So if you want to help yourself, you go help others as one way, because you put your problems in perspective. It's, right. Again, that doesn't mean there aren't some people that do really have challenges, but that's okay. Go see a psychologist or somebody who can help you. Negative thinking is a hard cycle to break. That is absolutely the deeper, the more you feel it every single time, and you relive that over and over and over. That is not healthy at all. And then brooding can lead to unhealthy coping skills. And again, that's all what this is we have not taught anyone, or a lot of people don't know how to cope with adversity. Yeah. And so I just
wanted and that's the reason so many people end up with substance abuse issues.
Yeah, exactly.
They start to use alcohol or drugs as a means of trying to band-aid the problem rather than dealing with the problem or trying to move on from the problem. It's easier, and all of that other stuff you mentioned prior to that, that's what leads to the substance abuse. That's what leads you down that road.
I'm just simply telling you, what everybody needs to know is everybody has their own crosses to bear.
Yes.
Okay. And don't say because somebody's a certain color or a certain whatever that they've been harassed more or not harassed more. I got pulled over between the time I was 16 and 18. I was pulled over six times by the police. Six bullshit times. I was pulled over more times than that and given tickets, but six times for bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, because but I've been pulled over more than you.
Because I wasn't in the right area or this, that, and the other. And by the way, if you want to talk about crosses to bear, I'm a middle-aged, middle-class, heterosexual, Christian, white man, conservative white man. I'm everybody's asshole. if you listen to the media, everybody hates me. I'm the reason that the world is what it is. But I go back to, and I've said this before, and I used to say this on the radio before. Don't buy the BS. Think about your own relationships. Do you have any beef with anybody because of the color of the skin?
No.
I mean, personally.
If you're an asshole.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is most people don't. Most people do not. So quit judging people and quit judging people on based on their color of skin. And by the way, if you're a traditionally disenfranchised group, disenfranchised or whatever it is, don't judge at everybody else. Just don't think because you're white, you walk out of the womb with a cigar in your mouth a rich uncle's going to give you a job. Everybody works hard. If everybody who's successful, doesn't matter what color you are, everybody works hard.
You know, and that's the thing. Most people, I can count on one hand the number of people that I think I have ever known in my life that were born into a wealthy, well-off family that really never had to work, never had to really put forth a lot of effort. Everything was just sort of, here you go.
Right.
I can count the number of people that I know that fall into that category on one hand and one hand alone, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Everybody else that I know that I would consider to be wealthy, well-off, rich, if you want to use that word, okay, they worked for it.
Yeah.
They or their families worked for it. Yeah. There was a lot of effort and energy and hard work that went into generating that wealth and also into keeping that wealth.
That's right.
You know, it's one thing to, you know, earn a bunch of money in a short period of time. Hanging on to it's another story.
That's right. That's
and maintaining that wealth is another story. There is work that goes into that. So there was a you know, big thing here a couple of years ago with the whole thing about white privilege. Let me tell you something. I don't know what happened to mine, but it got lost in the mail or something. Because
okay, Mike
never had any.
Mike grew up single parent.
Yeah,
single parent household.
Yep.
You did. Your family wasn't rich. Your mom was a middle blue collar person.
Very blue collar. Very lower middle class. Yeah. I would categorize. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. You know, grew up with kids in that. You know, multiple kids in the house.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, keep an eye out. Don't worry about the BLM person who's going to come up tell you they don't like you because of what you're white, or the KKK member, which, by the way, are there any Klan members? I mean,
I haven't even heard anybody claim they're a Klan member.
Is, don't worry about those people, because those people are in your face. What you need to worry about is the people that are the passive racists.
Yeah.
The people who slide it under the radar. But folks, when you think of something and you think in your mind, you think those poor people, I need to help those poor people. And you think that because of the color of their skin and only because of the color of their skin,
you just don't
check yourself.
Right.
Well, and I,
because that is racism.
You just talked a little bit about my background, and based on my background, I could very easily be the kind of person that leans on that as a crutch, and has could make every excuse in the world not to do this, not to do that, not to be this, not to be that. I think I'm a fairly successful guy. Never been on drugs, never had substance abuse issues, never been arrested, and also raised two great kids that had none of those issues, and now grandchildren. And I feel like my life has been quite successful in spite of what any statistics or any professionals or anybody else say it should be or could have been,
Don't, like I said, if you start to, if you ever find yourself, I know we got to wrap it up here, but if you ever find yourself think that you need to help somebody out and you think of it because of their color of their skin, take a step back and check yourself.
Yeah. Now,
if you know of somebody who's in a bad situation, personally, individually, not as a group, not as a community and all that kind of crap,
right.
As a group, an individual, and you think you need to help them, that's fine, but you don't need to help them because of the color of their skin.
That's right.
No. You need to help them because they need help.
Right.
And that's fine.
Exactly.
Just being a good person.
But don't lump everybody together.
Obviously, if you're seeing this on YouTube, you know about the video podcast portion of it, but you can also get us on Spotify and Apple Podcast as well. We ask you to make sure you like our Facebook page. Yep. And we want to hear your feedback, too. We want to get your feedback on the program and hear from you as well. And be sure and share it and like it and all that good stuff. So until next time, Terry, thank you. Trey, thank you. And, guys, we will see you next time with more Get It Right Texoma from the MacTech Solutions Studios. Until then, take care. We'll see you down the road, guys.